have read it in the previous two sermons. So this time I'm going to read just Songs of Song chapter 2 and the verse 11 to verse 13. Because I'm going to talk about the spiritual season of spring. And this verse is quite appropriate. Songs of Songs chapter 2, read from verse 11. All right, verse 11 says, "For lo, the winter is past." I hope that the winter is truly past, because the weather is still quite cold and chilly at night. All right. "The winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The rivers, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig trees put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the many wonderful scriptures in the Bible. And we know, Lord, there are so many treasures in your word. And we are here to discover, and we're here to receive, Lord, every of your precious word that you've written in your holy scripture. And therefore, Lord, I pray that you anoint your servant to speak in a simple but powerful way, that every word that come forth will be fresh, revitalizing, will rejuvenate every soul and every spirit, so that the spirit, Lord, is lifted up, Lord, that we can grow from strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory. Lord, we are here to receive your word. We are here to sit at the feet of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come to glorify your Son and bring this scripture and make it alive to us. So Lord, we ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. For those who are new to us, we are currently in a series called Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. And I've covered the seasons of winter in my last two sermons. And in that two sermons, when I talk about the winter experiences, there are at least eight types of experience that one may go through. So let us quickly recap just for those who are new, and also it has been 2 weeks that I last spoke on this subject. And so a quick recap: during season, you may experience a time of vulnerability, a time of waiting, a time of being hidden, a time in the wilderness, a time of persecution and rejection, a time of pruning, a time of weeping, and a time to die. By that dying, I mean dying to self. And so in those difficult times of spiritual winter, be it a time of vulnerability, waiting, being hidden, or in a time of wilderness, or persecution, pruning, weeping, or dying to self, God uses those things, those experiences, to later work out something good in our life. This is provided we cooperate with God and we allow God to work those things in our life. And so the Bible says that, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that in every season, not only in one particular season, but in every season, it says there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And so I'm done with the spiritual season of winter, and in today's sermon, I'm going to the subject of the spiritual season of spring. And when a person goes through a spiritual season of winter, there is always a nagging question inside us: when is this going to end? And by looking at the external signs of winter, one cannot possibly see how it can end quickly. And so spiritual winter can look gloomy and cold, and outwardly there is a lack of light and life and sunshine. And so emotionally, one is disappointed and discouraged. One cannot see the light in the tunnel, and one day a glimmer of light seems to just pierce through the thick cloud of darkness and of disappointment and gloom, and one begins to see some light in the tunnel. And so the dark clouds begins to be adorned with a silver lining, and dark clouds begin to move away and give way to sunshine, and the sunshine seems to increase by the day, and numerous signs of new life begin to appear. And so the sun seems to be smiling, the temperatures is warming up, That is the gentle and warm breeze that is blowing. The bleak and the monotonous winter give way to the colorful flowers that is blooming, and it exudes the fragrance. And so there are many shades of colors, and they are brightening up the environment. And the bees are humming, and the birds are whistling away. And so the seemingly bare and dead trees are now beginning to sprout out with many new shoots, and new life seems to begin. And so these are some of the experiences that I would like to share with you that are associated with springtime. First, there is this, it is a time of new life, new beginning, and a new chapter. Spiritual spring is about beginning, new opportunities, and new possibility. Springtime is about potential, new promises, and possibility. Times of new beginning can be very uplifting. God in His grace and His mercy give new beginning, new life, and a new bright future for people who are oppressed and called upon His name. So for example, in the book of Exodus, and you know the story, it traces a story of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. It is no coincidental that this event actually took place in the spring of the year. And the nation of Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and they were in slavery for 400 over years. And God heard their cry and raised up a man called Moses to deliver the nation from slavery and bondage. And then God commanded them to make the adjustment in the new calendar. He said, from this month onwards, this is the beginning of the month for the year. And it is going to be the first month, the new beginning for the year to you. You can read it in Exodus chapter 12. And the Exodus therefore marked a transition from a lifestyle of slavery and bondage to one of freedom. And then on, from then on, Israel no longer had to slot to make bricks every day. No more. No more have to listen to the orders of their old oppressive taskmaster. They have a new life. They are given their own country, homes, and orchards. And God had given them a new beginning as a nation. And the same applies to individuals. Most people have past regrets of some kind or another. And no one has an unblemished past. The past blemish can hijack our life. The good news is whatever negative or disastrous past we have, we can always have a good and a bright future in God when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior in our life. And for this purpose, Christ has come to die for us, to forgive our past, to blot out the penalty of our sin and past wrong. And that is why every believer in Christ Jesus is a new creation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He said, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we can't go back and change our bad or our wrong or past wrong. But we can have a new beginning in Christ. Learn from our mistake and then live enthusiastically today for a bright future. That's why Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, and now he is reaching forward to the things that are ahead of him. Paul must have agonized over his past mistake in persecuting the Christian, and he was responsible for the murder of a righteous man called Stephen. Nothing Paul could do to change this past action, a big and painful mistake. But fortunately, in Christ, Paul could live his life well in the present and look forward to the future. The same applies to you. Whatever big mistake that you have made, whatever grievous mistake that you have committed in the past, it is forgiven if we confess and repent it in Christ Jesus. When we recognize that there is forgiveness, there is redemption, there is restoration in Christ, we can find ourselves liberated from the past regret and shame, and we can now move forward. You also can have a new chapter of opportunity and promises. You can be enlarged in the different areas of life. You can move from one level of faith to another level of faith, one level of glory to another level of glory, one opportunity to another opportunity. Never think of yourself as too old to experience new opportunity, new promises in your life. At the age, there was one man, as a good example, is the elderly person called Caleb. And at age of 85, God was still writing a new chapter of promises and opportunity in his life. Caleb never lost his zeal and passion in the Lord. He had the faith to believe for new inheritance. And at age of 85, he requested to conquer and to inherit the mountain at Hebron. And God was pleased and granted him the request through Joshua. And I encourage everyone, never think that you're too old. I know there are some elderly person here. Never say that your life is about, you know, to come to the tail end, because there will be new opportunity, new promises for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 All right, the next experience, another experience is what I call second experience, a time of spring cleaning. Spring cleaning is a practice of thoroughly cleaning a house. It's done normally at least once a year. Now, you research this particular subject of spring cleaning. How did it get its name? It is interesting. It actually got its name because the practice of concerted cleaning is normally done during spring, just after a cold winter. The origin of spring cleaning can be traced back to the ancient Jewish practice of thoroughly cleaning the house during the springtime memorial feast of the Passover. The feast of the Passover was in remembrance of the Israel deliverance of slavery from Egypt. And the Passover was then followed by a 7-day observance of eating of unleavened bread. The Jews were prohibited from eating or drinking anything that is fermented with yeast. They conduct a thorough spring cleaning of the house and then make a special effort to hunt and to get rid of any yeast in the house before the holiday begins. You can read it in Exodus chapter 12. And the physical act of spring cleaning is a symbolic of this ritual, because yeast is a symbol of the power of sin and evil. And that's why there's a scripture says that a little yeast will leaven the whole bread. In other words, a little infectious toxin will invade the whole lump if it's not removed early. Now, in the natural, God requires his people to remove all things that is related to yeast in their life and in their homes. And so in the spiritual, God is instructing us to get rid of any toxic sin or objects of bondage before it invades the whole body and the soul. And these are garbages that don't belong in our body, don't belong in our mind, and they don't belong in our homes. And we do not want toxic in our body, or we do not want to keep garbage in at home, do we? And so God wants us to do a periodic stock taking and do spiritual spring cleaning to get rid of all the garbage and the toxic in our body and in our soul. So everyone does a periodic spring cleaning of the house. Things that we have collected that cluttered up the rooms, the house, and the garage, and the so on. And so once in a while, we realize that we have to clean the house to get rid of all the trash that have been accumulated throughout the year that is of bondage to us. Now, we do not plan to actually clutter our homes, but we do realize that slowly and subtly, it can sneak into our life or into our home knowingly or unknowingly. And so in the Jewish society, to prepare for the Passover, the family have to spend an entire week scouring the house for any small crumb of yeast that they can find. They do not do it because, or rather they do it because God commanded them to do so. In other words, they weren't just getting rid of the yeast that they happened to see on the floor. They had to make the special effort to look in every nook and hidden corner of their homes to find the leaven and then to remove them. And that is what we need to do with our homes and with our life. Every once in a while, we need to do a stock take or a check to look in our life and our homes and to ask ourselves, what are the things that are toxic, that are affecting our well-being and also the spiritual growth of our life? And so the question is, what are the things of bondage that we should be looking out for to get rid in our life and in our home? Things that you have given the devil entry in your homes and in your life. The devil has a very subtle way of sowing corrupt and evil seed in your life to infect you. And you need to do a spiritual spring cleaning of your home and your life. And so there are different areas. Let me name a few. The first one is your heart. I'm talking about negative and destructive emotions. What are they? Envy, resentment, unresolved anger, bitterness, forgiveness, and greed. These are the enemies of the soul and the spirit. They are secret killer. They are self-destructive. And if they are left unchallenged, they have the power to destroy your life, your home, your marriage, your career, and your friendship with other people. And so you need to be very honest with yourself. If you have this lingering negative emotion that I mentioned, you simply have to confess it before the Lord and ask the Lord to break His power over you. And if you still does not make any progress, you need help, you can ask the leaders or you can ask pastors to help you along in the prayer. And so second area, unwholesome material that you're watching or when you're reading, unwholesome books, magazines, or horoscope that you're reading, or R-rated internet website material, material that is pornographic, occultic, or addictive. Some things look innocent, but they are very addictive. Some stuff are subtle. They look, as I said, innocent outside. For example, there was a period of time, there's Harry Potter books and movies. They are very, very popular. No, please note that they are both addictive and occultic. That's why they package in a very innocent way. Now, by the way, Halloween is coming. Christians should not participate in any Halloween activity at all. This is not innocent stuff. This is not fun and play. Alright, they are demonically inspired and they are designed to sow seed into your life, into your soul, seeds of bondage into your life. And you participate it long enough, you find that you will go into the bondage. And then the third area is this. Satanically inspired music and songs that you are listening. Most hard rock music, some pop groups, especially, I'll just name a few. One song that is very nice to hear. It is called The Stairway to Heaven. But you know that this is satanically inspired, because if you do a backmasking, what is backmasking? If you play the song backwards, you will hear satanic messages. And so as you listen to this song, you know, play the song and listen to it, you will hear they are actually implanting some sublime messages into your mind and into your soul. And once you listen long enough, there will come a time that you hear the voices of the evil one asking you to commit suicide, or you feel that you are very oppressive. That is the reason why there are so many of these hard rock bands. They commit suicide. It is not by accident. It's because of what they have been involved in, because they are participating in those things, and they, the evil one, the devil, inspire them to compose those songs. So, brothers and sisters, you know, don't be fooled by all this so-called hard rock music and avoid them, because they are satanically inspired. And so the fourth area is any violent or sadistic computer games or toys that you're playing. Now, some of the computer games are very, very evil. You go from one level to the next level, and it's getting more and more violent and getting more and more sadistic. And so if you participate it long enough or you play it long enough, this seed slowly will become shoot, and you allow the devil to establish foothold and stronghold in your life. And the next area is the objects of abomination. And sometimes when you go on holiday, you buy those souvenirs, or you have some gift given to you, or you buy some jewelry or some furniture. They have carving, they have connotation of idol worship. And therefore, if you bring it into your house, you are giving the evil one, you know, entry into your household, entry into your life. And therefore, by participating in those activities, as I said, you are giving the demons the permission to establish a foothold and then later a stronghold and bondages in your life. And so what is the solution? For item 2 to 5, you need to get rid of those material. Confess it before the Lord and pray for the seeds that have been deposited into your life to be uprooted. Those seeds of bondages to be uprooted. Everything starts small. That's why it says, a little yeast will leaven the whole lump. And so, now, if you need further help, again, you can go see your leaders and your pastors for additional help. And so, spiritual spring cleaning of all these things will help you to remove all the hindrances in your life and position you to reap the full blessings of God during the spiritual spring season. The third experience during the spring is the times of refreshing and renewal in God's presence. And so after a long, cold spiritual winter, it can be very draining. It can be depleting. And so the spiritual spring is meant to be a time of rejuvenation. It is time to refresh, a time to renew, and a time to revive. And God begins to intensify His presence among His people. And there's a fresh move and touch of the Holy Spirit among the people. Now, during winter, there's a feeling that God seems to hide Himself, though it is not true. But during spiritual spring, God begins to reveal Himself and to intensify His presence. By that presence, I mean tangible presence. You can literally feel or sense His presence. And Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." I'm trying to extract certain principle from this verse. The principle is this: repentance and spiritual cleaning will position you to be refreshed and to be revived. It's because refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. And when you are dehydrated, what is the first thing that you can think of? Water. And so water is refreshing in different ways. You can drink it, and you'll be refreshed. You can bathe in it, you're refreshed. Or you can swim in it, and you're also refreshed. And so water is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. The other symbol of the Holy Spirit are wind and the fire. And so the refreshing touch of Holy Spirit is not just one way. It comes in many different forms. And so in the presence of God, you may experience one or more of the following things. Number one, you may have a very strong burning and a heat sensation. And some people who receive the touch of the Holy Spirit will feel the heat and the burning sensation in their body despite they are being in the very cold air-conditioned room. And so during the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of the tongues of fire. And so the second experience may be, you may be trembling, and you may fall under the power of the God. Because the touch of God can come in the form of electric current flowing through you and causing you to tremble. And then the third experience will be weeping. Weeping in the sense that the touch of God can cause you to weep. And the weeping may release the past hurt or pain. And it is intended to bring inner healing of the soul and the spirit. And sometimes the weeping can be a tears of joy. So it can be either way. But God is doing something inside you. And then the fourth area is deliverance and bondage breaking. And God can come and invade your life and supernaturally delivers you from demonic oppression. And it can be accompanied by screaming or the foaming of the mouth. And so the fifth area is what I call holy laughter. Many Christians may be weary and on the verge of burnout after many prolonged years of service unto the Lord. And God can come and decide to infuse and rejuvenate more joy and life and through a dosage of holy laughter. Marvelous and unusual things happen when the Lord manifests His power, powerful and refreshing presence. Now, with every experience from the Lord, the devil will not sit back and do nothing. He will introduce very similar and counterfeit experiences. And so how do we test such things are of the Lord? And so the question that we ask is this: does the experience result in increased holiness and consecration in your life? That is the bottom line. Does it change life and show forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit? That means there is more love, joy, there's peace, there is kindness and goodness and faithfulness in your life. Does it show forth increased fruit in your life? Does it bring, the next question, does it bring deeper love of God and His Word, the Bible, and also for the love for the people around? So these three fundamental questions you ask, if they are all positive, then it's of the Lord. If it does nothing, then it just, you know, it could be just your something that is fake or something that is not of the Lord. And so, come on to the fourth experience. Fourth experience is what I call the time of spontaneous singing. We just read the opening verse, that is Solomon chapter 2. A time of refreshing and renewal will most likely lead to a time of spontaneous singing. Spring brings a sense of joy and lightness in your heart. Everything in life seems to be beautiful. The overflow of joy and the feeling of rejuvenation seek a form of expression in a form of spontaneous spiritual song unto the Lord. And it is during this season that the corporate praise and worship is very heartfelt. The whole atmosphere is so dynamic and it is so thunderous. And during such time, there are many spontaneous and beautiful songs are being composed. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The revival of praise, worship, and prophetic song is a sign that spiritual springtime has come. Because the Holy Spirit is stirring up the brighter affection for the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. And Solomon chapter 2 verse 12, I just read, it says, the flowers appear on the earth. It says the time of spring has, time of singing, he says, has come. And the voice of the turtle dove, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is heard in our land. That is why in the days of revival, there are many, many new songs and spontaneous songs being composed. And also many revived Christians during this time will find their inner being bubbling inside with a melody that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you should not inhibit yourself. You know, you are encouraged to whistle and to sing this melodious tune and new songs freely in your home while you are cooking or while you are having a shower or even when you are driving. Just sing, don't inhibit yourself, because this is how you flow with the Holy Spirit. And then as you flow with the Holy Spirit, you are bringing into a newer height, a new higher spiritual height in the Lord. And then the fifth experience is what I call an opportune time of visitation. Luke chapter 19:44, 2,000 years ago, thereabout, Jesus appeared on the scene in Israel, and it was a very special, opportune visitation. He ministered for 3.5 years. But the Jewish, at the end of it, the Jewish religious authority had failed to recognize His time and hour of visitation. And it means the Kairos time. In Greek, Kairos means the opportune time. Instead of welcoming the Messiah who came to save and to bless them in a special way, they rejected Him and they have Him crucified. And in doing so, they turned away the special blessing that was in store specially for them. It was a tragic mistake to miss the unique opportunity of opportune visitation. Now, during this spiritual winter, there are high chances that God will open up a window of opportunity to bestow some special blessing for some people. And it is absolutely crucial for us to recognize the opportune time and respond in faith. Now, there will be at least one, if not more, in a lifetime, that God will grant some special blessing. And the opportune time may be open for only certain period of time, because it has an expiry date. And then some of it will never be repeated again, some of it will be repeated. But it is important at this time to seize that opportune time. And let me just give you two examples. One example is about the nation of Israel. When God brought Israel out of Egypt and going into the promised land, they were in the wilderness for a couple of years. But after 2 years in the wilderness, it was God's intention. It was God's intention to bring the nation to inherit the promised land of milk and honey. Because 10 out of 12 spies responded in disbelief in God, despite of the every miracle, signs and wonder that they see every day. Because every day they see a clouds covering them in the desert. At night there was a pillar of fire that protect them, that give them the warmth. Despite what they see God, they see the miracle of God every day. 10 out of 12 don't believe that God can bring them into the promised land because they see the giants in the land. And so that generation missed out the special blessing of inheriting the promised land. Only after another 38 years, and that make up 40 years, another similar opportune time was open to the new generation. This time it was also given to Caleb and Joshua, who believe. And so, example two, there was a time before, example, there was an opportune time given to them, and you must respond in faith, and you're going to inherit that special blessing. Example number two pertains to our church, Zion Fellowship. Zion Fellowship, as you know, is a small church. Our numerical growth is very slow and gradual. We started with 6 people when we first registered ourselves as a church in November 2003. And after 7 years, it gradually grew to about 70 people in 2011. And so, about 2 years before 2011, God spoke to Pastor Irene about giving Zion a property in the north. And to cut the long story short, in 2011, our previous tenant in Joondalup tried to make things very difficult for us in the area of renewal of the lease. And so we are nudged to look for a church property in 2011. And the Lord led us to look at this Clarkson property right now where we are here in this century. And so God then prompted and then reminded Pastor Irene, he says that this is the property that I spoke to you about, that I'm going to give it to Zion 2 years prior. As God also gave a prophetic word of confirmation and the purchase price to Pastor Irene. The price was $1.52 million. And then the prophetic word was same numbers, 152. It corresponds to the purchase price. And so she went up to open the scripture and was shocked to read that prophetic word of confirmation. Numbers chapter 15 verse 2, it says, it is written there, Numbers 15 2, in case people don't know what is the significance of that plague over there, 15 2, Numbers, it says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come to the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving it to you. So that is a confirmation God is going to give this property to us. And God separately spoke to me that the price and pressed upon me the price of 1.52 million as well. And so this matter was, you know, brought to the board for deliberation, and all the board members unanimously agreed to put an offer to purchase this price. And so we have a couple hundreds of thousand, and we approached the bank for 65% financing. That is a requirement. Minimum six. We need to have minimum 35%. We can apply for 65% financing. 65% financing. It amounts to about $1 million, just under $1 million. Most banks that we approach will not lend it to us because they require a minimum membership of 500. We only have 70 people, and so. Finally, only one bank was willing to lend us. And so we finally secured the loan to possess this special inheritance that is from the Lord. And every one of us was excited for this new property. And then shortly later, we found out that there are other offers coming to the agent. He says they are willing to pay about 250,000 more than the price of 1.52 million. And then even the agent was shocked. He said that no one make any offers for so many months. But the moment that you sign a contract to purchase this property, he says that three more offers came in. Another 2 months later, another offer came in. So we bought it at a discounted price of at least $250,000. And so the rest were too late. So how does a congregation of just 70 people within 7 years buy a property of $1.5 million? Because it was our spiritual spring. It was an opportune time of visitation from the Lord for some special blessing. Had we not responded in faith, I dare not think where we would be here, whether where we would be right now. And so, having heard what I said, some may live in fear, saying that what if there's an opportune time of visitation from the Lord for me, and then I miss it, I miss out. Now, be assured that if you have been faithful to the Lord prior, I emphasize faithful to the Lord prior, when God opens an opportune time, your heart will be in alignment with His desire. And so the key is faithfulness. When the time comes, you will naturally respond in faith to receive this special blessing. And so in conclusion, spring is a time of euphoric. You feel good, you feel excited, you feel elated. And though it is a good time, it is not without any peril. And during spring, there is a greater tendency to be only led by the emotion. And we all know that it is unsafe to totally just rely and to be led by emotions alone. Now, did you not notice that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, you are to love God with all your heart and also all your soul and with all your mind. So many are mistaken that love is just an emotion, it's just a feeling. Now, true love involves every facet of our being, our mind, our emotion, our will. And so there are few potential perils during the spiritual spring. The first one to be aware of is this one. You can fall into deception and delusion due to the fact that you are just trusting in your feeling alone. And so when one is fully carried away by feelings alone, there is a tendency to fall into deception. Now, therefore, you must not let your guard down. You need to be discerning even when wonderful things are happening around you during this spring season. And so sound judgment involves not just the emotion, but it must also involve the mind, and it must involve God's word and the counsel of matured and godly believers. And there is a danger of judging wonderful spiritual experience solely by feeling only. So as a good precaution, subjective feelings and experiences should be verified against what God say or the God's principle as expounded in the Bible, because this is our guideline. And so of course, there may be sometimes when some areas are not very explicit, and so when one lacks that particular knowledge or in that particular spiritual experience, it must be checked with some godly and matured pastors or leaders. The second peril is this: rushing ahead of God in presumption. Because during spiritual springtime, there are fresh and exciting things. Things can move quite fast. And so there is quite a tendency to move in haste and in presumption, to keep rushing all the time. And there is the need to take a periodical, what they call a pause, to reflect, to pray, and to seek the Lord and the Word before one rushes ahead impulsively to act foolishly. And so haste is often the devil's trap to get us moving too quickly and catch us in an unprayerful, unguarded moment. That is why the words of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, it says, "He who acts impulsively exhorts folly." Another word of wisdom, Proverbs 19, verse 2, "It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hasten his feet." In short, do not be what I call be presumptuous, overly carried away, and rush ahead of God. Third area, there is this extreme of either having arrived, the kind of mentality, or the other extreme is complacency. Because when things are beginning to turn around and one begins to experience breakthrough, there is a tendency to feel that he or she has arrived or attained it all. Some may think this is everything that God wants us to have, and then they short circuit what God intends to do more, and one may miss out the full and complete breakthrough. And so also the other thing is, along the way one may encounter some hindrances here and there, and then complacency may just set in and cause us to just stop pursuing God and miss out the blessing of the season. And so one example being, you know, there was a man called Elijah, and he has had a disciple called Elisha, and this mentor is supposed to be passed from Elijah to Elisha. And so Elisha was, you know, getting a lot of discouraging comments from his peers from following Elijah. And so he followed Elijah all the way until Elijah was taken up in heaven. Only then, Elisha received the double portion anointing. And so, to sum up, the key is to avoid extreme and to maintain balance. And so, now, I believe, having covered all the experiences that you may experience during your spiritual winter and some of the peril, I hope this sermon will help you to discern the spiritual springtime when it comes upon you, and learn how to flow with God and with the Holy Spirit. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? So, I've finished with spring, and in my next sermon, I'm going to touch on summer. So let us prepare our hearts, and with one...